We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
Welcome back to the Behind the Glass podcast, or I might rename it the Rob and Chris Show.
Oh, that sounds really good. that sounded like real Midwest on us right there.
For sure. Absolutely. But now we back for a special episode that I am looking forward to. Usually we do the podcast before we have the gallery opening, but this time we have the pleasure of talking to a few of our artists after the show. And I think, Chris, that this is going to be a great opportunity to kind of get...
Ooh, that sounded good.
It did sound good. Like you were cracking the top on something new. Mm-hmm. It was like you planned that out. But no, we got an opportunity to really talk about what it's like to showcase instead of the anticipation of showcasing that we usually talk about. So I'm excited. Today we got Tom from Distorted Reality. And we got the artist that many of you probably know is No Fun Zone. You've probably seen the work around the city a lot. And shout out to Sonny, who is not here today, who couldn't be here, but has some great pieces in the gallery as well.
Yeah, it was really cool vibes with the drawings. For sure. It was really interesting to see. And this was a great example of a behind the glass that had so many different styles in it all at once. And I think, you know, Sonny's work really helped keep that diverse vibes going from street art to, you know, creative processing of photographs to these. It's hard to say, they're not quaint, but they're just these sketches of storefronts that feel vibrant, even though they're lean. I think they're just really great to look at in a gallery.
Reminds me of like the doodles I used to do when I used to slack off in school.
Not paying attention.
Like 10 times better than that. But if people haven't realized, like, you know, it's October and we really wanted to curate this show to be something different in that theme of, like, you know, Halloween and just, you know, kind of breaking out that traditional realm of photography that we usually do. So I thought it was a great show.
Absolutely. And it was, you know, it's always tough on a beautiful Friday night. For sure. In Rochester to have everybody come out, but everybody that was there really was feeling the, you know, just walking around. Yeah. You see their faces, they're up and down and looking at different things. It was really nice, and it was a really nice gallery. But I'm kind of excited to talk to everybody, like you said, after. Absolutely. Because this is, we love doing Beyond the Glass and coming in after like 6 months or a year to see how it affected people. But sometimes, you know, that, I don't know, it takes me time sometimes to process things. I don't know about you. Like, for me, sometimes I have to take a step back to feel the feelings of what I've experienced.
For sure. And like you said, I think there's so much that goes into the curation of it, where usually we talk during the middle of that process. Everybody's a little antsy.
Uh-huh.
So now we just get to cool out, talk about the art, and I'm really excited about it. So let's just get into it. Tom, I found myself with the 3D glasses on, just really vibing out to your work, and it brought a whole new dynamic to the show. So before we talk about what you displayed specifically, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became the artist that you are.
Yeah, so thanks. And also, I really appreciate the opportunity being in the gallery. Like, this was a really, really high for me, so I really appreciate it. So I started, like, this photography artistic journey about 8 years ago. The wife and I were going to Hawaii for our 10-year anniversary. And I was like, I'm not just taking pictures on my cell phone, right? Like, I need to get a camera.
Okay.
So I got my first DSLR, learning how to use it, took it up to Murph's for the open jam because I play guitar there too, taking pictures of the musicians. And the next week, I don't bring the camera. Everyone's yelling at me because I post on my Facebook. They like the photos. So I'm like, all right, fine. So now like I'm the photographer there. So there, from there, I just started getting more into photography and learning more about it. And then like everyone can, a lot of people can make really good pictures.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can get that shot, you can get that composure, and it's a really beautiful photo. But what if you took that beautiful photo and broke it in ways to make it even still beautiful, but in a different way? Mm. So I started experimenting with like some black and white stuff, distorting the images after. I just sort of fell into this whole like glitch art thing. And I do a lot also like analog. So I have a CRT in my basement with a VCR hookup so I can like take the images and distort them. I got some old equipment that's circuit bent, right? So I just started just experimenting from there, right? If something looked cool, I was like, all right, let me go get it and see how I can break something. And that's how this like about 3 years now, I've been really dedicated to that.
Okay.
So this is how I've progress so far.
So you do all of that distortion analog? You don't do that Photoshop or
It's a mix. Okay. It's a mix. So some of it. So the piece that was 3D, the Rochester Skyline, that is a digital photo that I use Photoshop to make 3D.
Got it.
Right. I do have others that I did analog. But for this show, I wanted to stick to just my photography, not my other crazy adventures with the art, right? So I tried to display one of all of my types, right? I got film in there, okay. Experimental film. I had the 3D with the black and white. I had the circuit bent image of the park. So that's an old early 2000s camera that's also circuit bent. So you flip some switches in it and it does some cool things in it. And then what was the other piece? The the first one was...
Oh, I'm trying to remember what it was, because there were...
it was just black and white. It was a Jenny, so just a macro shot of the Jenny glasses. Yep. And I had the experimental film that's the lighting cover at the mag. So that was some fun, like, double exposure stuff I was doing. So yeah. I pre-shot the roll and then rewound it and put it back in with those effects. And then I had the 3D, the circuit bent one, and then the last one was... Geez, now I'm trying to think, what did I bring? What was the last one?
It's all right. So what I'm kind of interested in, so you talked about a lot of different techniques and a lot of what I would consider, I mean, not to assume your age, we're probably of a relatively similar vintage.
Yes.
Similar vintage.
having some years in the 80s and then, you know, being a kid and getting into being a teenager in the 90s, like that analog thing. Like when you mentioned that, I'm like, that's real nerd stuff, right? Like mm-hmm. getting the switches and feeling those things. Like, you know, I can remember having a black and white TV as a kid when it was an old one that we were just using because we were poor. but, you know, we had, you know, tapes that were dubbed over. You're recording, you're getting those effects, you're feeling those analog vibes. And I know, Rob, you're like, you're doing your lo-fi stuff.
Absolutely. You know, that's my bag.
There's something about, you know, and not just from a nostalgic sense, right? And it is part nostalgia, but what about, you know, seeing some of the analog stuff or creating some of those effects like the blue and red 3D? Mm-hmm. How does that appeal to you? Because it's en vogue right now, but it doesn't feel like you're doing it because it's trendy. It feels like it's going back.
Yeah. So I find it relaxing, right? Yeah. And comforting in a way too, because right, it goes back to childhood. And it brings back, you know, I had like some comic books that were 3D and I absolutely loved them. Right. And I'm like, how does this work? I had no idea how it worked when I was a kid.
Do you remember which comics it was?
I had a Ghostbusters one.
Awesome.
Which I still have in my basement. I got it from my parents.
So
brought
cool.
up all my comic books. So I still have it somewhere. And then there was a couple other ones that I had too, but the Ghostbusters one still stands out
nice.
As the one that I got into. I was like, wow, this is cool, you know? And with the other analog stuff, it's really amazing what we have available to us now. Like back then, that was the only thing, mm-hmm. right? And then digital comes out and everyone's doing everything digital. Everything's pristine. Everything's beautiful, crisp, clean, almost like no life, right? It's like you go back to an analog record. Why do you want a record? Because you feel something. It has more of that warmth to it. But with the modern digital technology, you can do more with analog than we ever could.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And it is, because there's, and it's weird because like the kids now are collecting VHS tapes. And I remember how eager I was to throw those things away as soon as I could. But, and now the kids are collecting VHS. They're going back to cassettes too.
Yeah.
Like cassettes and VHS. And it's just very, it's very interesting to see it as a trend when we grew up with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. It's also like finding ways to intentionally break it too and explore like the fringe. Like with the film, I spent a good about 8 months exploring like how to distort film, and everything I found was, you know, how to fix it when it's wrong.
Oh.
Right? No one ever wanted this, the what I'm looking for in the film, to be what the output was. Right? Film was chasing that perfect picture until digital came out. And now I'm like, well, how do I break the film? What other experimental things can I do with the film?
Because I remember, who was it? Was it Nick Brandreth that did like the salt stuff?
Yeah, I think
to,
so.
He did like salt. Yeah.
Film soups.
Yeah, he was like salting it somehow to create these antique-y effects. And there's a lot of creativity you can do with this stuff because, like, you can mess stuff up in infinite ways. Sometimes...
Oh, I burned some rolls. It had all come out good. Like, I was like, oh, there goes $10, you know? Like,
What was an experiment that didn't work?
So I've been trying to pre-expose the film with different lights. So I found that different light sources causes different colors and effects to be on the film. There's another guy who goes by Psychedelic Blues. He does a lot of that stuff too, right? So you could buy the rolls of his film and it's pre-done. So I was trying to mimic that. So I just went too heavy on the light, basically. And I shoot the roll, you know, I bring it down to Scott's, come back, and I'm like, yay, I got my roll. I take the negatives out, and I'm like, son of a bitch.
I think like, we've all had that experience.
Like, that is useless. So now I got to go back and refine it. And that's how I started developing at home. Actually, I was like, you know what? Scott's does great work,
yeah.
You know, but I'm like, I need to churn through these roles and like innovate really fast and not drive 20 minutes there and 20 minutes back all the time. So I started developing at home.
Is there something behind your instinct to intentionally, as you put it, break it as opposed to leading into what might make it perfect? Because I find that concept interesting.
You know, sometimes it just shows up. You know, other times I'll look at something and I'm like, I think that will look pretty interesting broken, right? Or you look at something just at a different angle, or I see a technique somewhere and I'm like, let me see if I can reproduce that somehow,
yeah.
You know? And then I mess with it a bit, you know? Of course, the output isn't the first output of the experiment, but that's generally how it goes. I'm like, I think this looks cool. This looks different. And then my wife always complains that my art makes her eyes itch.
Well, I was just.
She's like, you're making it look like I don't have my glasses on right now, and I hate it. So once I get to that part, I know that I'm on to something, you know.
There's definitely something about your work that makes you just want to engage with it, and I couldn't put words to it until you just said it. But just looking at it, I'm like, I want to look at this a little longer. I want to investigate it more because there's something about it that is telling me. It's like speaking, right? And when the image is super perfect, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like, what else is there? What can you discover? And
exactly.
That's what I thought was like most interesting when I got there. So I got at the gallery like right after 6, right?
Okay.
And Joe Photo was like, hey, look at this one with the glasses on. So I only ever looked at the 3D one with the glasses on because the other ones aren't 3D to me. So I don't think, oh, let me see how it goes. But that middle, the second one, with the art, the photo from Mag, the 3D glasses just with the purples and blues in the picture gave it a whole nother look once you put those glasses on.
Sure.
And I,
for sure.
I like stood back a bit at the gallery and watched how people interacted with the art, and they would all go through it.
Yeah.
And then see the glasses and then go back for every single one. And it was really awesome to see them go, wow.
Yeah.
And like they all got to that film one at the Mag and they stopped and waited the longest at that one. And wow. It wasn't even intentional.
Wow. Yeah, as soon as I saw those glasses, I'm like, oh yeah, this is about to be fun. Where'd you get them?
Just Amazon. Yeah.
Nice.
And hopefully they're still there at the gallery. If you guys, if they're not there, let me know. I have more. I can drop them off.
Okay. But.
Well, and speaking of which, people can definitely still go visit the gallery through the entire month of October.
Absolutely.
So if you miss the opening on First Friday, you can come out and check it out anytime that the gallery is open at the Mercantile on Main in scenic downtown Rochester, New York.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's transition to No Fun Zone for a second. What I love about Rochester is you can discover someone's art and then actually meet that person, right? So I saw your stuff all around town, and I'm like, what is this? And then I would come in here, and I saw the piece that Chris has up, and I'm like... And then Quajay bought a piece. So then
I was taking pictures of her, not even realizing it was like a thing.
Quajay's the whole reason that I show my stuff. Yeah. So like that's like I went to so Reckless showed like sent me pictures of Quajay's like Instagram of, okay. like old drippy tags of mine. I was like, oh my god, that's so cool. Like so I saw that he had an art show on like West Main. I was like, it was the last day, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go.
Oh yeah, that was the one with the black and white photos
and the viewfinders.
And the viewfinders.
And
yeah,
there
yeah,
was
yeah.
a my the last slide that I looked at was my tag.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my god.
That's awesome. And that's where I saw it for the first time as well. Yeah. Was there?
Yeah. And I lost my mind. I was like, whoa, this is so cool. Like,
that's awesome.
And then I signed this little book and like teeny tiny in the corner, No Fun Zone, and like a smiley face, and like walked away. And then like he messaged me and he was like, oh my god. And I was like, yeah.
It's awesome. It was so distinct. Yeah. And then when I saw you at the art swap at Frank's, I'm like, I gotta buy a piece. Like this is my opportunity.
Hell
so
yeah.
What's the story behind the tag, behind how you started doing this? Just educate us on
I mean,
how you got going.
I've always been around graffiti. Like, you know, like I went to high school with Crook. I don't know if you.
Yeah.
No. So yeah, like. I went to, he like used to sit next to me okay. and stuff. So like I was always around it. I wrote on shit too, just like my little notebook, but nothing, never anything like him. He's amazing. But yeah, no, I don't know. And then like I traveled a little bit and like you want to leave your mark, you know, like I've been here. Like, so I don't know. I'd leave my name like stupidly, but I spell it weird. And like, I've had people find it like in like Kansas and be like, did you stay at this hotel? Like, what? And then, so the No Fun Zone, like, my like couple of my friends and I decided that like really stoned that we're going to like be the fun police and we were going to give out tickets and like, and have like, and we're going to have like No Fun Zone, like badges and like give out no fun tickets, you know? And like,
yeah.
So that's kind of how it began. Then we decided, like, we all, like, had tags, and we're, like, tag weird places, and that was going to be, like, our crew. And then they, like, kind of stopped writing, and I was like, well, I like how the words flow. I like yeah. what it means to me. Like, it reminds me of that fun time of us, like, going to be like, no, you can't have fun, you know? And it's just, like, it's silly. But also, like, I don't know, like, sometimes, like, I walk around a lot. And I like some places are not fun, you yeah. know, like some yeah. some like there's like a on Monroe, like by Blessed Sacrament, when they had that glass like bus stop or whatever.
Yeah.
Like I used to tag in that because like all the bums would sit in there pissed. And like, I mean, like whatever. I was homeless. I understand that. But then I was pissed when they took the thing away because they didn't have anywhere to sit when it was like raining or cold or like, you know, and they put these like benches that are like anti-homeless benches where you can't lay on it. And like, so I wrote No Fun Zone all over that because it pissed me off. You know, it really depends. So
it's awesome. There's a beautiful irony to it because every time I see it, I'm like, this is fun.
Right. Like,
but the fact that you choose like these canvases that almost, you know, resemble like the institution.
Right.
Like signs that are right. put up
and
to regulate.
And that's
things.
Exactly. No doing this, no doing
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
No parking, no sitting. No,
it's
you know,
almost
like
boo exactly. those tomatoes.
Exactly. Absolutely. And that's what I love about it too, because it has such a broad meaning.
Yeah.
You know, like it means so much. I had like someone tell me that their little kid like saw it and was like, I'm not allowed to have fun here. And I like I met him and I was like, no, that's not what that means. That means where you're supposed to have fun. You're supposed to like not have fun.
How many pieces would you say you have up around the city or have done?
I have no idea.
Countless at this point.
Yeah. There's, wow. And there's like random weird places. That's like, so like Nick Koch, like he like Rock Street Photo, he found my tag on a old car in Webster.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, they've been like, there's some in the woods, like random trails and stuff. Cause we used to hike all over the place. There's so many different places.
Are you intentional about where you put it, or is it just intuition? I'm here. Sometimes. I'm feeling this.
It's really like, sometimes it's intentional. Like I said, like the homeless.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But sometimes it's, I feel like right now I have like this compulsion to like write, you know, like I have to write it. Yeah. So.
Well, it's weird because I think it's like a lot of art where you don't know how somebody's going to react to it.
Right.
Because the kid might see it and take it dead literally.
Right.
And I guess when I saw it, it really resonated with me. And my wife will often laugh at me because I'll use the same phrases often. But something I've said for a long time is that I don't like fun. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, I need something with that immediately.
Yeah, that's so funny.
But I say it, and the reason I kind of want to explain is because it's something that means a lot to me. That I do say it for a reason. So I don't like, you know, big fun. I don't like fake, the artifice of fun, right, the veneer of enjoying something.
Right.
I like to enjoy things so deeply and aggressively that, like, I have no chill with how much I love things. And I want to sit and luxuriate in it and really enjoy these things. And to me, when I hear fun, I hear it as like, you know, it's fleeting. It's the light stuff.
Right.
I just love that. I love getting into the meat of things. I love having a great conversation. I love, you know, hey, if I'm tasting spirits, I want to sit and talk about it.
Right.
I'm not a shots guy. I'm not a woo party guy. I want to sit and talk about it and like really live in it. And for me, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, I know it wasn't the intention, but it's like, oh, that is me. That's me.
That's
and
awesome.
Then I can
that
have
means
that.
So much to me. Like I love that.
And I got to say, so, and something, you know, I think a lot of people who have seen clips from Behind the Glass and other shows on Lunchador, there is a No Fun Zone sign in the studio right behind you right now.
Sure.
When I don't remember, I remember we had the sign made, and when you saw it in the video clips for the first time, how did that make you feel?
God, like what?
Like I don't know if you knew that I was gonna put it in behind everything and like have it in basically every video clip I can have it in.
No, so like I mean, Nick kind of told me, but like I didn't, and then like I saw it, and I was like, oh my god! Like do you see? Like
yeah,
that's so cool. That means a lot. Thank you.
And it makes me happy, right? It makes me happy having local stuff in here.
Yeah,
and not just. It's not just a picture of the bridge. It's not just, you know, the stuff that everybody has.
Right.
I want to reflect Rochester in the stuff that's in the studio because that means a lot to me. And I know we're talking about doing some more work and making that wall bigger and more diverse and exciting.
Yeah, I'm down for sure.
So when you're doing not just the tagging, but when you're making pieces for people, how is that gone? Like, do you have, like, when people have... Do they have requests? Do they have... How does that process go?
It's been happening more and more.
That's got to be cool, too.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Because, I mean, like, so, like, in Behind the Glass, I also put some, like, collage stuff. I do that as well. I also, like, made commissions on that, too. But, like, the No Fun Zone, like, I'm not a muralist. I'm not, like... My tag is kind of like, kind of Basquiat. Like, you know, like, Samo. Like, that's kind of... how I feel it is. So like doing commissions and like people wanting it and like how do you take that, like how do you take that visceral like sign that I've written on, you know what I'm saying, the actual like thing, and translate it into something that someone wants, you know, like. But I also wanted to like challenge myself and like learn new techniques and like I look up to, I like, I'm not good with spray paint. I try like here and there, but I cannot, like, I have no can control, whatever, you know, but I want to challenge myself and like make myself do that more, you know, so that, I don't know. It gets really nerve wracking. Cause I'm like, I don't know what you like. I try to get a general idea though. Like I did a commission, for someone and they like an ophthalmologist and they're like, oh, wow. Can you do the like no funds, the O's is like eyes and like gave me the colors and stuff. I'm like, that sounds really fun actually. Like that's gonna like challenge me in a different way, you know, like
nice.
So yeah.
Yeah, it's it can be a very harrowing experience doing commissions. I know plenty of people who have, you know, tried to make a living just doing commissions. And it can be very, you know, very disappointing sometimes, right, where people don't understand that there is a process.
Right.
There is creativity, mm-hmm, and that the endless commentary doesn't help, right, make something better. Often giving the artist a chance to
express themselves,
give them
right,
a direction.
Right, right, exactly.
But then say, hey, you, I like what you do. Do the thing that you do great.
Right.
And that's, I don't know, it's, that has to be like from that side when somebody says, I like what you do. Here's an idea. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's cool and it's scary and it, you know, like, I mean, I have a lot of imposter syndrome, I guess, about it, you know, like with, because I'm not like a muralist like everybody else, or I'm not, you know, but I don't know. It's still really fun to like put myself to the challenge of like doing something different. And like, I don't know. It's, means a lot to me that it means a lot to people,
yeah,
like, you know, like in all different kinds of ways and what it means, like,
well, and I think that's like in a lot of ways, like when you go into a gallery, like, you know, Tom, like when you're in the gallery and you see people looking at the work,
yeah,
right, and it's, I kind of want to talk about that, you know,
yeah,
actually I think what we'll do, we're gonna take our quick break,
okay,
we're gonna come back and talk about that kind of, that experience of seeing people perceive your work.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that and we're going to be right back.
Welcome to the world of Punches and Popcorn, where we dive into the bone-breaking and kung-fu kicking world of martial arts cinema. Join us on the path as we explore a new movie every episode, discussing the history, fighting styles, science, and more from a broad range of fight films. Everything from Bruce Lee to Jean-Claude Van Damme to John Wick. There's plenty of room in our temple of couch potato style. So listen in and subscribe to Punches and Popcorn on your favorite podcast app.
Back.
And welcome back to the Behind the Glass podcast. So we're going to dive into kind of assessing how our artists felt displaying their work. And like I said, we wanted to curate October in the spirit of the season, so to speak. The season and Halloween is so much about provoking different emotions. And I think the two artists that we're talking to right now intentionally do things with their art to provoke people. So starting off with Tom, how did it feel to see people interacting? Well, first, how did it feel to display your work in the gallery? And then how did it feel seeing people kind of react to it as it was up and being there in real time?
Yeah, it was great to have the opportunity in the gallery. It's actually the third one,
nice,
I've been in. I got into Main Street Arts in Clifton Springs,
okay,
2 years ago. And then I was in Abundance back in July.
Nice.
So I was in the cafe at Abundance, and that's how Richard saw my work. And he was like, all right, like, let's get you in.
Love
like,
that.
I love that. That was great. So, but this was the first time, like, I saw people really interact with it. Because at, you know, Main Street Arts, like, I had only two pieces in it mixed in with a lot of other people. So people were just mingling around, not really. I didn't have my own section.
Yeah.
Right. And then at Abundance, we didn't do the first Friday because that was July 4th. I didn't think there would be a good turnout. So we did it another day and no one came. So I sat there for 2 hours by myself. Right?
Oh, wow. Which, I mean, we've all done stuff like that before where you create something and either nobody hears it or nobody sees it. And those nights can be really, those are tough.
Yeah,
we've all had those.
For sure.
So I was nervous going into it. you know, just to see how people would react, because I knew there was going to be a crowd coming through, yeah. you know, and it was amazing to experience. I mean, the gallery's in a great place. The whole building has a really cool vibe. I was going out and taking pictures and doing some more of my intentional camera motion stuff while I was there, right? You got to take advantage of the opportunity when it presents itself.
Have you been downtown in that area much?
I did back in May. I walked around a bit. My daughter's dance was at the Innovation Square. Nice. So when she was doing her rehearsals, I was like, well, I have 2 hours to kill. I might as well just walk around downtown, right? So I did some more photography downtown then. And I was like right around the corner. I didn't get close to where Mercantile is, but I was, you know, where Innovation Square is.
Yeah.
But it was cool. I did some more at night too when we left. I took some more pictures before I left because I hadn't been there like at night yet.
Yeah.
I got to do more downtown in the city. But to watch people come through and just experience it in ways I didn't plan it, you know, because normally I have like a direction, right? I want the image to convey something. It is of something else. And I can kind of gauge, you know, how others would react to it based upon how I've shown it to friends, family. It's been other places. So it was really cool to see how people just explored it in different ways.
Yeah. One thing I always find interesting about showing and displaying work, you know, when I have done it, is the bounce that you get creatively. I know that I, seeing how people react to the work, being around other artists and seeing their work, that next day I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go out and shoot a whole roll, or I got this whole new idea. Did you get a kind of a bounce or a wind behind you to create more just from the experience?
Oh, yeah. No, it was great to see how my work, you know, compared to No Fun Zones and also Sundays, right? It was such a diverse piece of, you know, a diverse collection in the gallery, right? Completely different styles across the board. And to watch people come through and just enjoy it all, you're like, all right, there's some energy here, right? Mm-hmm. That's why I went out and did, you know, some liminal space stuff with the chess set that's just, you know, sitting there, just wide open thing, you know, taking pictures of empty escalators and empty parts of the room. I was like, there's some good vibes here. Let me get some creativity in now, you know, while I'm here, and then take that back and process it later. So it was really cool.
Yeah, it's always fun experiencing that energy. And I pose the same question to you, No Fun Zone. How did it feel having your stuff up in the gallery? I know you said you don't look at yourself as a muralist, but I want to say the simplicity of your work is what makes it special. So don't talk down on yourself
Thank
too
you.
Much.
I big you up. No, I appreciate that a lot. Yeah. In behind the glass, such an honor. Like, that is one of the coolest, but I've seen like some amazing people in there. I've come to many, many shows there, and like, I felt when Richard hit me, I was like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. Like, you know, I've shown stuff at like Frank's, and I did Abundance last summer. I did Abundance.
Nice. Oh, cool.
Yeah, and that was just my collage stuff, though. That's it. Being in behind the glass, though, like, such an honor. Like, so cool for me. Like,
it's like you're seen, you know?
Right, and something different. It's really hard, too, like, with the graffiti aspect, like, kind of the no, like, I don't really care so much. Like, I know that I've done a lot of vandalism and stuff, but, like, you know what? Here we are, you know? Like, I don't know. I'm pretty shy, too, so, like, it's really funny to, like, when people don't know who I am, to like listen to them, you know? But sometimes that's also made me come out my shell and be like, hi, that's me. Like, and then, you know, like, lots of the times it's pretty shocking to people. So that's fun too. But like, I don't know. It was really cool to see like different people that would like, would normally go into like Frank's per se, you know, like it's a whole different audience.
And there is a lot of crossover, right? There's been plenty of behind the glass people that have shown in Frank's but it is a different audience.
Right.
Like Frank's is distinctly a street art audience.
Right. Exactly.
And that's great. And it provides a platform for lots of different styles of street art be presented. But It is a different audience, and it can be exciting to be in front of, you know, that twisted, like that different twist of an audience.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's super exciting.
How did you choose the pieces that you displayed?
The railroad ones are the most recent ones I've done, and I really, really like them. I like the colors I used. I like how the letters look. You know, I'm getting better, and like that's kind of what I see in it. The stencil one, I did that for the first Thanks to the Streets at Frank's. And my nephew actually like drew a picture on the back, which is really cool. And they wanted to hang that. And I was like, that's like not mine, you know. But so like that one means a lot to me. I used to do stencil a little bit more. I do have one here and there. I'll use it. But that's just fun. I like to play with it that a little bit. Then I'm also a collage artist. I do like pour painting and the collages and like. Those two that I put in there, like the two that I recently finished, and that's a lot of fun for me. That's like, I like words. That's kind of why like I like the No Fun Zone thing too. You know, like I like words. A lot of my collages have words in them, or like poems, or like whatever. Like the one currently at Frank's right now for Matt Vanderly's service show, like. Is No Fun Zone on the stop sign, because like I mean he gave me a stop sign, so I'm like, I know what you want, but I'm like, other things,
I'll do the bit. I'll do the bit because I gotta do the bit, but
I'm other things, and that's what I wanted to do, is like combine kind of everything into that, and like that's what I wanted to do with Behind the Glass as well, you know. Also the little army men though on the stop sign, I do those, and I used to like glue them around Rochester like years ago. They're the disco army. It's fun.
So what I was kind of thinking about ending off with was, you know, it seemed like both of you have grabbed like parts of you that drive the creativity. Can you talk about like what being a creative like aids to your life, and then put your plugs in at the end too? Yeah. Like, 'cause this, you know, both of you are doing creativity in a very different way, but it's coming from different directions. So, I mean, like for you, it's, you're saying you're a shy person, but you're very visible.
Right.
Like what about being creative helps, you know, is exciting for you as a person?
It helps me like put myself out there and like kind of raw, like, you know, like it, and that helps me kind of come out of my shell. Like I've also like met so many insanely creative people in all different ways. Like what he does, like meeting him, that was awesome. Like Sunny is probably hands down my favorite artist in Rochester. She is so talented. Like that Pat's Coffee mug, all the bricks on that.
And it feels like you're walking up to Pat's Coffee mug.
Yeah, that's what I'm
place,
saying.
That like, place has such a distinct vibe.
Exactly. And I love that. I love how we're all, even though it's all different, we're still all like the same, and like can see like some, maybe like normal people don't necessarily see the things that we see as creatives, you know? And I think that's really cool. And that helps me realize that I'm not just, I mean, I am a weirdo, but I'm not like the only one, you know, like other people are like,
I mean,
you know, yep.
I gotta say like, and that's why like doing this, like for me, as I've never considered myself a creative person, right? And doing the recordings has allowed me the luxury of being around, like, one, cool people, like everybody in the room, and getting to know people better. But having more people around makes you feel like, oh, there is the creativity of doing this and having a great discussion and living in it.
Right.
And it, I don't know, for me, it's enhanced my life in so many ways. And I love to hear that, because it makes when people get the smile because they see your work.
Yeah, for sure.
What a cool thing.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly.
It's an experience of finding community.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, you absolutely.
Know, and the gallery always does that. And that's what I love about it. Showing up, you know, and just meeting people that I either know or don't know. It's expanding that network. So.
Yeah, it's same question to you, Tom. What is creativity done for you? Like, how does it help you in your life having that as an expression?
You know, it gives me more to be well-rounded, right? Like, I'm just not doing my job. Yeah. I'm just not going home. I mean, I love my family, right? I love taking care of my family, but it gives me that, like, other outlet of emotion that I don't have otherwise, and allows, you know, that expression and to show a vulnerability too, right? Because you create something, you don't know how anyone's going to like it. Mm-hmm. And when I started putting stuff out there, you know, it's like, is anyone even going to care about this? And like, you know, you got to take that step and to be vulnerable and be open. And then once you get like that positive feedback, it's like being on stage, right? When you get this on stage and like you see people move in the audience as a musician, like that just gets you to go harder, right? So it's the same thing with the visual too, that when you get that audience feedback, you're like, all right, let's go. Like I can dig into this, like let's explore. And it's so fulfilling, you know, as a human to create something and have other people enjoy it.
I think that's step two of the creation process. I think most creatives are shy and reserved, and we create in like our bubbles and we kind of do it for ourselves at first, right?
Right, exactly.
But then step two is like, okay, let me present this to an audience, and to see that audience connect with it, it's almost like the mind-blowing moment. Like, oh, like this is what this is for. Like, for sure. It's not for me anymore.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's I kind of want to end up with that, because we end up going a lot of interesting directions tonight, and we don't often get into like the philosophical on the show, because it's a panel thing. We don't have as much time, but we're able to noodle a little bit tonight, Rob.
It's the Rob and Chris show.
The Rob and Chris show. Yeah, no, now we need more sound effects. Yeah. Wait a second.
No, shout out to Richard. Shout out to Q. You know, the original curators. I've been blessed to come on and meet great artists like we have tonight. And again, shout out to Sunny, who couldn't be here tonight. Definitely miss having her here. She was a big part of why the show was so successful. But
100%.
Any last, plug yourselves. You know, let people know where they can see more of your work, your Instagram, how they can get in touch, all that.
My Instagram is nofunzonearts with a Z and N junk. That's where you can see all my art, collage and tags and other stuff.
And anywhere you are in Rochester.
Yeah, for sure.
And the Lunchador podcast studios right here in my house.
That's right. Exactly.
How about you, Tom?
Yeah, so on Instagram, I am distortedreality.io. My website is distortedreality.io. You can reach me, you know, through direct message or email tom@distortedreality.io.
Nice.
Yeah, Rob, we're coming up on the rest of the month. Like we said, you can still go visit the gallery for the rest of the month.
Please do. It's open. You can view it whatever times Mercantile and Main is open down on Main Street. Please stop in and let us know if those 3D glasses aren't there. Tom will provide more.
I left three pairs. Hopefully they're all still there.
Yeah, unless, you know, a bunch of people got them comic books you're talking about. They probably still should be there. But please go check out the work of these talented artists. And till next time.
Yeah, I think that's it. So I just wanted to also, for the Lunchador Podcast Network, definitely want you to check out some of the other shows. I really want to shout out one of our shows that got nominated for Best Podcast in Rochester for 2025. That's the Bossy ROC show. Kelly Metris and Kelly Bush from Selena's and Union Tavern, Merchant Street, Merchant's Grill. They are doing an amazing show. If you haven't listened to it yet, I really recommend you check it out. They're talking about business, but they're doing it in a really honest, vulnerable way. They've had some great conversations with industry experts, business experts, and they've been very revealing. It's really great stuff. I really want everybody to check it out and vote for Bossy ROC for Best Podcast in Rochester. Really appreciate it for the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Can I say one more thing, Chris?
Oh, please.
One more plug before we go.
Go for it.
Behind the Glass has been nominated for Best Art Gallery.
Oh, yeah.
And the Best of Rochester with City Magazine. So please give us that vote. And our own Richard and Cologne and Quadje are both nominated for Best Photographer. For Best of Rochester. So they having a little war online. both saying to vote for the other one because they're being humble. but you know, please show some love. Both of those dudes have been working hard, not only on their own stuff, but really providing platforms for people to be seen and be felt. So I always want to give them the flowers on that. And Behind the Glass is a part of that. So I had to throw that plug.
Oh, I'm glad you did. No, I'm glad you did. I completely forgot about that side. So yeah, go out and vote for everything you love in Rochester.
For sure.
It is a voting thing. Everybody really appreciates it when you support the things you love in the best way you can. And supporting Behind the Glass, Richard Colon, Kwajie Donnell, Bossy ROC when you vote for Best of Rochester. And we'll be back next time with more
Behind the Glass.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
If you did steal the 3D glasses, I recommend going to watch a terrible movie like Jaws 3D.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.